Going to look here this morning at the importance of faith for the next generation. Turn with me to Ruth chapter 4, if you would, as we're continuing on our study of the book of Ruth. J.R. Miller made this wonderful testimony. He said, "Once I suddenly opened the door of Mother's room, and I saw her on her knees beside her chair, and heard her speak my name in prayer. I quickly and quietly withdrew with a feeling of awe and reverence in my heart. Soon I went away from home to school, then to college, then into life's sterner duties. But I never forgot that one glimpse of my mother at prayer, nor the one word, my name, which I heard her utter. Well did I know what I had seen that day was but a glimpse of what was going on every day in the sacred closet of prayer. And the consciousness, and that consciousness strengthened me 1,000 times in duty, in danger, and in struggle. And when death came at length and sealed those lips, the sorest sense of loss that I felt was the knowledge that no more would my mother be praying for me. I have the same memory of both grandmother and mother, one of the most sacred remembrances you can have as a child." Susanna Wesley, with 17 children, spent 1 hour each day shut up in her room alone with God, praying for her children. And her two sons, John and Charles, brought revival to England while France was in the midst of the blood of a ghastly revolution. In fact, America owes much to the prayers of Susanna Wesley. Well, the faith of this woman, Ruth, and her looking to the Jehovah God, which had not been the God that she had been brought up to worship. She was a Moabitess, an enemy of Israel. But God had stirred her heart after knowing Naomi, and she decided to put her trust in Jehovah God and came with Naomi back from Moab. And this story is one of story of faith, the story of bringing faith to one who had lost their faith to some degree, and is one that affects us today because of the generational impact of this one lady, Ruth. Oh, the blessings of God that we have. The goodness of God is the drive behind all the blessings He daily bestows upon us, A.W. Tozer said, and how true it is. But oftentimes we do not realize that God is ready to bless. If we will look to Him, He will do far more than we could ever expect. In the book of Ruth, we saw in chapter 1, a woman who had followed her husband, but they in unbelief had gone to Moab when there was a famine and had not trusted God and not seen that God was dealing with Israel because of their sin and unbelief. She comes back and she tries to deceive. She tries to get both of her daughter-in-laws to go back so she wouldn't be seen as having violated the law and intermarriage with the Moabites. But Ruth determined to stay with her, and very clearly she was blaming God for the problems that she had. In fact, she wanted the name Mara, which meant bitter. But thankfully, she did have a daughter-in-law that God was able to mightily use. Chapter 2, you see the steps of faith. She got out, believed God. God brought her to the right place at the right time, to Boaz's field. She saw the providential working. She was taken care of through that day and through many more days. And through what went on, she began to develop confidence that also began to change the heart of Naomi. And then in chapter 3, we saw last week that God's divine guidance gave to Naomi. Now she was more concerned about her daughter-in-law than she was about herself. And God began to work. There was divine intervention and the divine provision that brings us now to chapter 4. And we're going to look just quickly at one of the most beautiful sections of Scripture regarding an illustration of what the Lord Jesus Christ did in being our Redeemer. If you look with me at chapter 4, verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsmen of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such an one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. Boaz, in the chapter before, said, I will be your Redeemer, but there is a closer Redeemer, kinsman, that has the right to purchase back the land of your father-in-law. And of course, the main burden that Boaz had, he realized, and God had prompted his heart, he was godly, that he was to marry Ruth. But he had to give the opportunity of the closer kinsman, according to the law, the opportunity to redeem the land of Elimelech. If you study the Old Testament in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy, the whole purpose of the kinsman redeemer laws was to protect the property of families in Israel. Remember, God owned the land, and it had been apportioned by His will. And he did not want those who became poor and all to lose their right to the land. So a kinsman, the one closest and then right down the line, had the right to protect the estate of someone that maybe had fallen into hard times. In this case, had left and then died, and both sons had died. Ruth was in no place, being the daughter-in-law to the man and even being a woman, to be able to do anything about redeeming this land back. Neither was Naomi. And so this opportunity to redeem, to buy back something that was lost, was what is being dealt with here. And so Boaz came to the gate. Morris says, the gate played a large part in the cities of Judah of antiquity. Excavations reveal that Palestinian cities were generally very closely built, and there were no large open spaces like the Roman Forum or the Greek Agora. Instead, room was found at the gate, and the gate accordingly tended to become the center of city life. It was the place for any important assembly, and for example, we find the kings of Israel and of Judah sitting on thrones in an open place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And so they come here, and Boaz is going to give a challenge to this near kinsman, the nearest kinsman, to go ahead and redeem the land, but he's going to tell him, you got to also bring up a seed for Elimelech through his son, his son's wife, widow now. And let's just read the story starting in verse 2. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye here, down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And the other man said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. It is interesting that this one that was unwilling to do what he should have done, we only know him as the near kinsman, but we know the name of Boaz, and we know his line. You know, I tell you, it's when we're selfish, we miss the opportunities that are in our life. Of course, this was God's will. Well, I'm going to have to quickly just go through this, but I don't want to miss this. Redemption is a glorious reality for us as believers. The necessity of redemption. The meaning of it means to set free by paying a price. And folks, we were created by the Lord. But we sinned. We were bound by sin, cut off from God, and Satan actually then took over as the God of this world. And to think that the Creator God would be willing, through the blood of Jesus Christ, to redeem us back is something beyond the ability to articulate. The love of the Redeemer. We are all in need of being bought back. And I think one of the tragedies of humankind is those that hear the simple plan of salvation will not take what Christ has done. You see, we were created in His image. We were given a free will, and we went away from God. And it's that free will that causes us to accept the work on the cross when Jesus bought us back by paying for our sins, gaining the right to His own creation, and conquering Satan at that time. I've mentioned this before, but as a little boy, one story that sticks out in my mind, I can see right now, they had those big books, not like flannelgraph, but I mean just a big book that was used for Sunday school, and we had one with this story, and my mom used it when I was just a little boy to help me understand salvation. And it tells the story of a young boy who lived in New England, and he was at a seaport there, a town. He lived there. He loved to see the boats coming in and out. And so he finally decided to work hard and build a beautiful little sailboat all his own. He worked for weeks and put a lot into it. The details were just right. Finally, the big day arrived, and he put the little boat down into the water by the wharf, and to his horror, not but a couple of minutes after he was delighting seeing it float just around there, the wind picked up and blew the boat out to sea, and he could not get it. For the next days and weeks, he searched the seashore to hope that it had been washed back up, but he could not find it. One day, he was walking through the downtown there, and he saw in a store window his little boat put up in display. He ran in so excited, and he told the lady there that it was his boat, but she had paid some money to the person that gave it to her, and she said that to get the boat, he would have to pay $2. He couldn't believe it, because that was his boat. He had made it. But finally realized he had no choice, so he dug in and gave the money to the woman. And when he walked out, I remember the first time my mom taught this to, maybe it'll have been the first time, probably too little to remember, but little boat, you are twice mine. You are mine because I made you, and now you are mine because I bought you. My friends, every person in this room, Jesus Christ died for. Amen. You were His by creation. But all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God cannot allow sin into heaven. And so He fully paid the price on the cross. And He is able to redeem us through His blood. But we have to exercise our will by faith and choose Him. Mark 10:45 said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." And so Jesus was our Redeemer, and that's exactly what Boaz was doing here. He was providing, was going to pay so that Naomi could have her land and so that Ruth could be then the one that would provide seed in a next generation to keep that line going there in Israel. The Redeemer had the qualification. He had to be a near kinsman. He had to pay the redemption price. And I love 1 Peter 1:18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." And Boaz was willing. He wanted to gain this bride. And my friends, Jesus is our bridegroom. He was willing before the foundation of the world to go to the extent of becoming a man and forever to be a man, all God, but all man, and to come and suffer. He willingly gave himself for us. It'll take us all of eternity to even begin to get over what Christ has done for us. That's why you find them worshiping in the book of Revelation. Revelation 13, 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. And his love for us was amazing. And we need to be so thankful. And believe me, when you come to eternity and face that, you will be so thankful if you know the Lord that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., the great evangelist of several generations back, said, years ago, I was standing by the deathbed of an old pastor down in Alabama. The old man had been a preacher for 50 years. I saw a son who also was a pastor who was kneeling by his father's bed. And he said to him, Father, you have preached for 50 years and have done more good than any man I know. The old man with feeble but distinct voice said, don't tell me about that, son. Tell me about the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus will do for a dying man. If a man who had preached for 50 years and who had lived a pure, straight life in his dying hour had to rely upon the blood of Jesus Christ, don't you ever think there is any hope for you aside from this atoning blood? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so the man took off the shoe, which was the way that was public to all of these 10 witnesses, was the way the law worked it out. And so therefore, the witnesses realized that that kinsman had given up his right. Boaz had now the right to purchase the land. He was more than able, very wealthy man, and to have Ruth as his bride. Well, let me just conclude with a couple more verses here. We'll finish this next week. Verse 9. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the land of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, wasn't ashamed of that, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And they said, yes, we are witnesses. And look at this verse. And the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, which means fruitful, and be famous in Bethlehem. Our Savior paid the price. We can be the bride. And Ruth had already had indicated she was willing to this older man, for the sake of all of this, to trust him and to give her life to him. And the people rejoice for the bride. Oh, the blessings that are given to the redeemed. My friends, aren't you thankful that Jesus was willing? He was willing before he ever breathed life into Adam. And we're all here because of the love of the Lord Jesus, both in creation, but now with his redemption. And it's wonderful, and we'll look at this, but through this union came the one who was the Redeemer. Jesus Christ is the direct descendant, David first, and then Jesus Christ. Folks, living for God now makes a difference hundreds of years from now if the Lord were to tarry. The faith of Ruth made a difference. The line that was the perfect line for the Messiah came because of this dear woman who had not been brought up a Christian, not been brought up under Jehovah God, but chose to believe in him and to do what was right and to honor her mother-in-law. And she came, and because of her faith and trusting the Lord, God not only blessed her, took care of her, but she was the mother of the Messiah. Generations later, blessed because she was a woman of faith. And so, mothers, I want to encourage you to realize everything you do makes a difference. And what you are doing is showing your appreciation for the Redeemer and that you want the Redeemer's name to go on. And oh, would God work in all of our hearts to realize what Jesus Christ has done for us. What a Redeemer we have.